Indeed it does, and we thank you so much for being here with us. Jason Ross, I am Damian Barling. This is our number two of the Lowdown. Had a great time there in that first hour talking about your Sacramento Kings. Not going to harp on it, but given the game that the Pelicans had last night, given the little nugget that you got there about their big that used to play here in Sacramento, yeah. I joked that there was laughter throughout the city when you get there was literally laughter on the text line when you gave that.
I wondered if there was.
Again, I think even the people who loved him the most do feel a certain sense of, all right, cool. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that anymore.
And it's weird that the next home game is him. It'll be here next Thursday.
How about that?
Yeah.
Wasting no time to get that one in. That's next Thursday. Yeah, so we got to wait to be back at the Golden One Center, but that's a hell of a. In fact, is it Thursday, Sunday?
Yeah,
it's Pelicans Wizards.
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah, it's Pelicans Wizards. Yeah. So yeah, good week of basketball next week for the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, they lost last night against the Houston Rockets in the opener. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but we need to shift gears now because Week 7 of the NFL season starts tonight, and it starts with your Oakland Raiders. The Kansas City Chiefs come to town, and we're happy to welcome Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star here with us. Blair, your Kansas City Chiefs are coming off a loss as well. I'm wondering, do you think this short week benefits either team?
Yeah, I've been trying to kind of gauge that. I actually think it, from a, you know, from a healing standpoint and a preparation standpoint, and nobody has the edge. I mean, you could say that the Chiefs having to travel and playing the, you know, they had to play late afternoon on Sunday may feel a little bit more fatigued, but I actually think the Raiders have an edge just because after the fourth straight loss, they don't have all week to think about a fourth straight loss. You know, the Chiefs have been playing so well for so long, and we're really disappointed with the Steelers, with the loss of the Steelers. But it's been a month for the Raiders to, you know, to feel bad about this season, and like any sort of opportunity to not have to talk about it day in, day out, abbreviate that week is probably helpful from a team psyche standpoint.
Blair, what would you attribute the key reason to the loss last week? Because as you said, they've been the most balanced. They've played so well. I know they had trouble stopping the run, but was that the biggest reason they ended up losing to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was a carbon copy of their playoff loss to the Steelers, where Le'Veon Bell, this was back in January in the division round, Le'Veon Bell goes for 170, and I was thinking, well, there's no way that'll happen again, and it didn't. He went for 179. It was a total carbon copy. The Steelers just gashed him. It's just a really bad matchup apparently for the Chiefs. And when they finally figure out a way to slow Le'Veon Bell down for a play or two, still got Antonio Brown to deal with and a couple other weapons that Pittsburgh has. So it's funny, the Steelers were coming off a terrible loss themselves, that home loss to Jacksonville, 30-9 or something. And that was the very same scenario that the teams found themselves in a year ago in the regular season. The Steelers had just been throttled by the Philadelphia Eagles, and they played the Chiefs next week. This was like week four, and then they hammered the Chiefs in Pittsburgh. So maybe just catching the Steelers off of a week of a Mike Tomlin tongue bashing is not the way to go if you're the Chiefs.
Blair Kirkhoff, the Kansas City Star, with us here on the Lowdown. Chiefs and Raiders tonight, coverage beginning at 5 o'clock. You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. You're talking about the 179 yards that he had, the 32 carries. You mentioned the struggles they had with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell again in the playoffs last season. Is this an issue with Le'Veon Bell, or is this an issue of run defense for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, we all know how good Le'Veon can be, and he's one of the top, you know, three or four running backs, I think, in the game. But it is a problem for the Chiefs. Run defense is not a major problem, but it's enough of a problem that when they see the wrong guy in the wrong offensive line, it's an issue. So it's something that the Chiefs really have to shore up to be as complete a team as they want to be and have the ambition that they want to have. But they've done so many other things well so far this year, and they've gotten, some of the wins, Patriots to begin the season, and so in the Eagles, they've had a lead, and teams had to throw against them. They haven't had to run. And so I think from a you know, from a Chiefs standpoint, getting ahead, forcing a team to get a little bit out of its rhythm and its game plan has been beneficial to the Chiefs. That didn't happen against the Steelers. That game was Steelers controlled maybe from the pretty much from the outset and able to sort of impose your will on Kansas City.
So, Blair, you're talking about how that matchup's just kind of been a difficult one, Steelers and Chiefs. Conversely, it's gone very well for the Chiefs against the Raiders. Five straight, they've really played them well. What is it about that matchup that makes things generally end up in the Chiefs' favor?
Well, you're right. I mean, I think it's pretty hard to explain, actually. Each team goes 12-4 last year, and the Chiefs sweep the Raiders, and that's how they get the division. You know, the number two seed overall, but the win the division in the AFC. So it's kind of hard to explain, except to say that Derek Carr doesn't play well, has not played well against the Chiefs. You know, his first win came in that 0-10 season, that 0-10 start. What in 14 he beats the Chiefs, and since then he's lost five in a row, and has had terrible numbers against the Chiefs. Conversely, Alex Smith is 9-1 all time against the Raiders, 19 touchdown passes. Those nine wins and the 19 touchdown passes are the most that he's had against any one NFL team. Now that includes two games for the Niners, but 7-1 as a Chiefs starter against Oakland. So it's hard to explain. Derek Carr, I think he's a terrific quarterback and a star in this. He has a chance to be a star for a while in this league, but just something about the Chiefs, they get pressure. They've gotten pressure on Oakland. They've sacked Carr like 18 times in the last five or six games. And I know this is a good offensive line for the Raiders, but somehow, some way, Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator, has something to dial up against the Raiders, and it's been successful.
Blair, we've joked about Alex Smith suddenly becoming this deep quarterback threat here through the first 6 weeks of the season or so. Was there a change in offensive philosophy? What was the change that obviously week one is glaring against the New England Patriots, but we've seen it a number of times, Alex Smith for throwing 300 plus yards. We've seen a streak that came to an end last week, the touchdown, you know, a touchdown of 60 right. plus yards every game.
Yeah, no, that it's been quite an eye opener this season. You know, he in Kansas City. He was known as the Captain Checkdown, and they're very very cautious. You know, he never throws many touchdowns, but hardly throws an interception, and keeps the game close, gives the Chiefs a chance to win it at the end. And he's been very very good. He went into this season 41-20 as a starter for the Chiefs, so no complaints about how the Chiefs fare with Alex Smith as their starter. But this was different. This year's been different for two reasons. And one is his primary receiver is Tyreek Hill, who's one of the fastest if not the fastest player in the NFL. And a couple of these long touchdown passes have just been Tyreek just running past a corner, running past a safety. And the other difference is having Kareem Hunt, the rookie in the backfield, who's the most talented running back the Chiefs have had since a healthy Jamaal Charles. So that gives the Chiefs two weapons at primary positions that Alex Smith hasn't had at his disposal, or didn't have at his disposal in the first, 4 years. At least two quality players there together. And you throw in tight end Travis Kelce, and all of a sudden the Chiefs have offensive weapons at those positions that defenses have to account for and try to take away, and you can't take away all three of them. There's just not enough bodies to do it. So, and Alex Smith is a veteran and has had he's a smart player. He's been able to exploit that advantage, and for that reason, the Chiefs have been able to bust big plays. And you never see that from the Chiefs. But Tyreek Hill's speed and Kareem Hunt's athletic ability and just overall strength of the running back, and then Kelce, I think one of the premier tight ends in the league, has really helped Alex Smith kind of change his MO from game manager to big play threat.
So, Blair, when they traded draft day to go up to get Patrick Mahomes, they obviously love his arm. He's a big arm, still a young guy. It kind of put Smith on alert. He's having this sensational season. What is kind of the early thought of a long-term lookout or look for Alex Smith?
Yeah, and don't discount that as a factor. Maybe not as big a factor as some have made it out to be, that now all of a sudden the Chiefs have a draft pick, a first-round draft pick that's pushing Alex Smith. I think it just kind of maybe heightened the senses a little bit for Alex, knowing that his successor, his successor has been drafted, and you know Andy Reid has not hid the fact that the next Chiefs quarterback is on the roster right now. And it's just a matter of when for Alex Smith not being the starter here. So I think that plays into it as well. But it was made clear from the outset, from the time that they drafted, that the Chiefs drafted Pat Mahomes, that he was not going to be the starter. He wasn't going to challenge for the starting role. It was Alex Smith's job. And Alex Smith would have to get hurt for Patrick Mahomes to see the field, which he hasn't taken the field at all this year. But if this continues for Alex, who has 1 year left on his contract in Kansas City, if this continues and the Chiefs get to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl, and they'll have to make a decision on whether to extend Alex Smith or not, and that'll be a real interesting call for the Chiefs.
Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star with us here on the Lowdown as the Chiefs take on the Raiders tonight, with coverage beginning at 5 o'clock here on Sports 1140. Navarro Bowman not only is going to play for the Oakland Raiders tonight, he's going to start for the Oakland Raiders tonight. Is that a big deal? Big deal? Little deal? No deal for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, it's an interesting deal, isn't it? That after they sign him and play him right away, the Chiefs actually may have the same somewhat similar situation. C.J. Spiller wouldn't start, of course, but the Chiefs signed him on Monday. He showed up on Tuesday, and he's going to be in uniform tonight and be available, because the Chiefs have some injury issues at running back. But that really is interesting that he would play right away and go, have to go from nowhere to here. Let's see how that plays out. I'll be really curious to see how that plays out.
I'm curious to go back to the running back position for you guys, Blair, because Kareem Hunt, as you said earlier, has been incredible. They drafted him thinking he could be a guy. But if Ware doesn't get hurt and West banged up, I mean, he took advantage of this opportunity. But if all things were right, would we know about Kareem Hunt right now?
Yeah, we would have, because his training camp and in preseason games were eye-opening. We saw him every day up in training camp, and we just said, who is this guy? How is this happening? How did he fall to the third round? And it turns out, when you think about it, he was the sixth running back taken in the draft, and the five ahead of him all went to Power 5 conference schools, and Kareem Hunt went to Toledo. So even though he racked up some big numbers, I think 1,400 yards plus last year, and if you weren't watching college football on Tuesday or Thursday or whenever the MAC plays, it's college football games, you probably didn't know much about him, and he's not a big physical guy. He's not quite 6 feet tall, and just not a physical specimen sort of guy. But he is difficult to bring down, and a determined kid. And he's fantastic catching the ball out of the backfield, which is something that has to happen in an Andy Reid offense. He would actually had moved into the number two position on the depth chart after the second preseason game. So they go into the third preseason game with Spencer Ware as a starter and Kareem Hunt number two, and Spencer Ware tore his ACL in Seattle in the third preseason game. That moved Kareem Hunt to the starting role, and then they open the season at New England a couple weeks later, and he goes nuts and most yards from scrimmage in an NFL debut, and he's just been on fire since then.
The Kansas City Chiefs were kind of this, obviously with that week one win against the New England Patriots, they were really a big story or the story in the NFL up until that loss against Pittsburgh last weekend. But we had always said, it's Andy Reid, like, it's cool. Like, let's wait for the playoffs. What is the, what are Chiefs fans' perspective so far the first 6 weeks of this season?
Well, you're right. I mean, that's the Chiefs fans are, they're cautious by nature and they come about it on for you. I always mention this, people, they don't believe it, but it's true that since the Chiefs won the Super Bowl for the 1969 season, so the January 1970, they won the Super Bowl, they've won a total of four playoff games since then, two at home and two on the road.
Man.
And I mean, that's just stunning. It's stunning for a franchise. It's not a – I wouldn't call it, you know, one of the historically great franchises, but they had their success in the 60s and had their success in other periods, the 90s under Marty Schottenheimer, and then did for meal teams, and now with Andy Reid. To have no playoff success to speak of, one AFC title game, and they got blown out by the Bills in the early 90s there, so obviously no Super Bowl appearances by their, you know, they're cautious, honestly. And so they're going to be all in, just like every NFL fan is when your team shows regular season success. But they'll be scared to death when the playoffs roll around, and especially if the Steelers are right in front of them.
Well, this is a hell of a matchup for both teams tonight. Blair, we really appreciate your time today. Enjoy the game. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good talking to you guys.
Absolutely. That is Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star, giving us the Chiefs' perspective. I always love hearing from the opponent of the, you know, we talk so much about the Oakland Raiders all week long, and, you know, particularly, you know, normally when they play on a Sunday or a Monday, we're talking about them that Friday, or we're talking about that Monday morning or Monday afternoon, I should say. I love hearing from the opponents and what they're thinking about, what their mindset is. And Kansas City's in a different spot than they've been in through the first 5 weeks of the season, because now they're coming off a loss.
Right.
And it's a frustrating loss because they're looking back at Pittsburgh like, damn it, we lost to them again.
Mm-hmm.
In the same fashion we lost to them in the playoffs. Le'Veon Bell ran all over us. Meanwhile, you got Derek Carr who's thinking, we've lost four in a row. You got the entire Raider team who's thinking, we've lost four in a row. Poor Derek Carr's thinking, I haven't freaking beaten the Chiefs in like 3 years or however many years
it's
been.
Just one time.
Both teams are screaming at each other, we got to win!
Yeah. And you think of the outlook on either side. You play those out. Raiders win. Okay, you erase the streak. You beat the team who you're chasing, the best team in the division, maybe the best team in football. You feel like for a while you've stabilized and you've got a little extra time to prepare for even next week. If it goes the other way and you lose, you're continuing your spiral. Chiefs probably think we've just defeated what most people think is our biggest threat. And we're now 6-1. They're 2-5. They have questions. We're thriving. I don't know if the division ends tonight, but they're in excellent shape if the Chiefs win tonight.
No, I don't think the division ends tonight, but
it's close.
Boy, yeah, it might.
I mean,
because right,
the Chiefs have to stumble, Chargers or Broncos, and or no one anyone else has to get hot.
I mean, you'll hear Nate Lundy crap all over the Denver Broncos at the top of the two. If you're a Raider fan and you want a good laugh, tune in at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Before we get to anything fantasy, we'll ask him about his Denver Broncos losing to the previously winless New York Giants, and I promise you, as a Raider fan, as a football fan, you'll be thoroughly entertained by his response.
Yeah, because I think it's tonight Raiders, and then I think the Chiefs even play the Broncos the next one. So if they get both, and all of a sudden they're, 7-1, that division's not catching them.
No.
And you might get another team in, but not catching the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I know. I think the Navarro Bowman was signed Monday.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
And it's not Sunday. We're talking about a game tonight. He was signed Monday, and it's not like they signed him off the street, right? It's not like he's, you know, he wasn't playing football. He was playing across the bay. He didn't have to uproot his family, move. He didn't have to do any of that. Just had to, you know, drive a little bit further. Hey, y'all want me to do?
Tackle the guy with the ball.
Boom.
Yeah. What play is that? Yeah, just repeat that.
I'm going to fit right into your system, Coach Del Rio. You want me to hit that guy? Cool. I'm going to go hit him.
You know what else they need to do? I was looking at the five games that the Chiefs have won over the Raiders in the last six. The Cars played them six times, won the first one. I think the Chiefs, I think it was all of them, or maybe one, they didn't get a defense or special team score. I know they did last year, and Raiders can't give those up. They just can't. You can't give them a defensive score, which is obviously a turnover, or a special team score, and the Chiefs are really good at those. So if you avoid those, make Alex Smith beat you, which he's been. He's been great. Mm-hmm. Make Kareem Hunt beat you. He can, but make it limit that. And then, again, I'm going to go to what I said yesterday. Score. Score, 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 score. The Raiders got to get back to what everybody thinks
scoring.
They're best at.
Hot take.
Yeah, but that offense. I mean, no one says it's their defense, and it's not. And if they beat the Chiefs with their defense, I mean, I'll just be shocked. I mean, like if they win a game like 13-9 or something, like what happened? But score. Just get a bunch of points, force the Chiefs to score, and you still may not win, but they got to find the offense. Got to find it.
You know, you mentioned all of those things. You mentioned defense. You mentioned special teams, but you didn't mention the player's name because you talked about Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith. Tariq Hill
kills him.
He was a big part of that streak that I think it was nine straight games that they had a touchdown of 50-plus yards or more.
Yeah.
That came to an end on last Sunday when they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But,
And the Raiders give up big plays, too.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going. It's a recipe for disaster for the Raiders, or it's a recipe for potentially a Rams 49ers-style Thursday night game that we
sign
got a few
that.
Weeks ago. I'd sign up for that, too, but the Raiders have to win.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be great if the Raiders scored 39 points, but I think that's what the 49ers scored. They scored 38-39, yeah. but they scored those points in a loss.
Yeah.
And the Raiders aren't in a position this season of moral victory.
Right.
Like, they've got to get a W here. And, I've kind of downplayed it listening to other people talk about the game tonight. This very well may be their season. I mean, five losses in a row. That's what the Giants did, right? The Giants lost five in
and
a row.
We
wrote them off, yeah. right? We wrote them off. So it's a different type of five losses. It came at a different time, but it's still five straight losses. And we wrote off the Giants. If the Raiders lose their fifth straight, I guess we got to write them off too.
Yeah, Raiders lose today and Giants win this week. They have the same record, right? They both be 2-5. So if one's written off, you got to write off the other. And not only that, you know, we're saying probably the Giants are buried because the Eagles are 5-1. Well, the Chiefs would be 6-1. So
wanted to take a quick look at the Chiefs' schedule. They've played some really tough teams. Like, this is a good football team. Their 5-1 record can't be minimized at all. I know everyone will think back to that September 7th matchup in Week 1 against the New England Patriots, but they also beat Philadelphia, and Philadelphia's lone loss of the season, by the way. They beat the Los Angeles Chargers. You can think whatever you want about that. They beat Washington, mm-hmm. who's still
– good team.
They're good.
Yeah,
still wondering about them, but they're good. They got a hell of a game coming up on Monday night. And then they beat Houston
on the road.
Right before Pittsburgh. So yeah. They've had a tough stretch. They've put up a lot of points this season. This isn't your dad's Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
No, this is a good Kansas City Chiefs team, man. If I'm a Raider fan, I'm pretty nervous headed into tonight.
I would be. I mean, I'd be excited all of the feels, right? But I'd be more nervous because this team, they're playing a really good team. Raiders have to play well to win, and they're not playing well.
A stark contrast to the conversations we've been having about the Sacramento Kings. Where Sacramento Kings participation trophies and moral victories are just fine today. That's not going to work with the Raiders, but we'll shift gears back to the NBA here in just a heartbeat. You know what, Jason, we're going to hold that off too because we got to talk about your Yankees. We haven't done that yet today. We'll get an update on baseball. I know the next game is about to start here in just a few minutes. We're rolling along halfway through here on the Lowdown. We're rolling along here on this Thursday edition of the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. We'll take you all the way up until Chiefs. No, we won't. We'll take you till 3 o'clock, but we got the Chiefs and the Raiders coming up at 5 o'clock. Thursday night football, week 7 of the NFL season kicks off, which means week 7 of the fantasy season mm-hmm. will kick off tonight as well. Nate Lundy, our fantasy football expert and host of the Fantasy Football Hour, will join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get back to your Sacramento Kings here in just a heartbeat, but Jason. Yo, just
wait, there's a lot.
Wait
there.
A minute. There's a lot to digest with your boy here. Yo, man.
There it is. A ribby double for Aaron Church.
At what point does somebody say something to him? Now, I'm not acting like I don't screw up, two sentences every single day, multiple times an hour on the right day. But this just why can't you rise for a double?
It's not in the script.
Oh, there is so much to digest.
They lose a run for that.
There is so much to digest when listening to Yankee calls. Their third straight at home.
Can they stay home?
Nope.
Nah, they got to go to Houston.
Got to go to
Verlander
Houston.
Tomorrow.
All right. Confidence level right now, scale 1 to 10.
6.
Whoa, that's kind of low. You won 3 in a row. That it was 5-0.
Yeah, their pitching has been great, way better than I thought it would be. It's not where they have the advantage going in, but they beat Keuchel, who they've just had so much trouble. Tanaka pitched well. They're hitting better. And the Yankees' bullpen is stronger, I think, than the Astros. So there's some things they have in their favor, and they've got a one-game lead, but Houston still is a really good team. They've got Verlander tomorrow. I don't know. I'm more confident than not, but not. It's definitely not over.
I'm going to read this to you. Do Yankees fans really like listening to that guy?
Not especially. I don't know. I don't know about New York. I only hear the highlights. I think it'd be a difficult listen.
That's all I, because we laugh at the 10, 15, 20 second increments. Mm-hmm. But if you're listening to that for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. All year.
All year.
Yeah.
God forbid Aaron Judge hits multiple home runs in a game, which he does regularly, by the way.
A lot of rising.
I know.
Yeah.
Jason Ross,
yeah.
Where are you today? Well, it's your Friday.
I'm in the judge's chambers.
You're in the chambers. All right.
You're
rise.
In the judge's chambers.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Your orb.
The judge. Maybe he was having flavored vodka.
Maybe.
He got thrown off and went with the judge. So the Yankees win. They've won three straight. It's this 2-3-2 format. I find it so odd. I mean, you know, Chris said this earlier. I guess it's true. The series doesn't start until a home team wins, so.
Well, home team loses.
Home team loses, sorry.
Well, that would be weird if the Astros ended up losing. They would say the series started, but it would be over.
But it'd be over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a cliche.
But what if Houston wins the next two?
Still hasn't started. So, it would also be
they
over.
They just got to keep playing?
Yeah, never started. Astros just advanced.
I swear, does anybody. No one in the world comes up with stupider cliches than people in sports.
Yeah.
Like, I'm convinced we sports fans, sports media, sports people are the dumbest people in the world.
We just
think of stupid things to say, like a series doesn't start until the home team loses.
There was one, and I feel like it was Houston and Dallas maybe 10 years ago, maybe more. McGrady was out. I mean, a long time ago. And I think every road team, they won every game on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that? Starting every game? Started the series, started game one, started game two, started game three. I mean, it was a really strange series where the road team, I think, won every single game. Maybe not game seven, but the first six.
I'm sure there's some sort of stupid remark for that.
Yeah.
We just don't recall it.
Right.
Start, stop. The only thing I can ever remember with Tracy McGrady in the playoffs is when they went up 3-1. He said, well, I'm happy to finally make the second round.
It's so funny. Now, like, that
sounded
so
silly.
Spoiler
alert for
those
who don't know, he didn't make the second
round. I was recording that. Well, check that off the list.
Hall of Fame induction speech was right after that.
No one would say that now, right? Now that we've seen. So, I mean, that one, it wasn't that common. It's happened so many times, as we learned yesterday.
Well, let's shift to the other series, the Cubs.
Yeah.
I thought, I was just like, this is over. Like, the Dodgers, you know, this is over. There's a legit thought that this is going seven now. Because the Cubs won one game.
Yeah.
Like, that's how normal winning consecutive games in playoffs are now.
Yeah, and I feel like baseball is the tougher one to, like, basketball, generally the better team win. Like, the better, like, over time, it's like, yeah, you could sneak out a game here or there, but baseball, it's, you know, the Astros, they were saying the last time they got swept in a series was the A's. The A's swept them. Well, the A's aren't as good as the Astros, but that was in August, I think. So, you get some hot pitching. Maybe your bats are quiet, and it can shift. But if I'm the Dodgers, their bullpen is intact, is rested, and Kershaw's going today. I'd feel great. But on the same token, if you don't win today, then it's all of a sudden, all right, we're okay, but you're coming home. All the things still favor them. But you just, you don't want to leave it open. Maybe you have the day where it's just a bad day and you give up 10 runs. Uh-oh, now it's game seven. Those kind of things.
If they lose today, it's, again, they're up 3-1. As a media person, even as a Dodger fan, you could still think about the World Series. You can. If you wind up losing, it's your fault because you thought about the World Series. That's how being a fan works. But Kershaw can still go game one of the World Series if they win tonight. Because they got 4 days off.
Yeah, it'll be a great setup.
He pitched yesterday.
Yeah, for Houston or Yankees.
How funny is it if... Like, Kershaw is pitching to get them in the World Series. Mm-hmm. The guy who has been ripped for his playoff performances mm-hmm. is pitching to get the Dodgers to the World Series for the first time since 88.
Yeah. Well, he pitched well in game one. They won that game. Here's an opportunity.
That's game one, Jason. Yeah. That's game one. Like, it matters. This matters. This is his moment.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll make something up, right? I just said sports people are the stupidest people in the world. We're gonna make this more than it is.
Yeah. Well, and it's like for the Cubs, their best hitters are Bryant and Rizzo. They're not hitting. And it's almost that simple. Yankees, Judge wasn't hitting. He went to New York and all of a sudden started hitting and knocking in runs and getting RBIs. And Sanchez, a bunch of guys started to find their hitting stroke.
I know that you didn't hear this. When Arrieta came out, when Joe Madden came to get – I don't know if they were booing Madden. I don't know if they were booing Wade Davis. I don't know if they were booing the situation, but they were not pleased with that at all. And I thought it was so funny because three games ago, Joe Madden was getting ripped for not putting Wade Davis in soon enough. So now he's going to put him in the crowd. No, leave
they were booing Madden. Like Girardi. And wouldn't it be something if the Cubs came back and if the Yankees made it, the two managers that got booed at home in the playoffs could be in the World Series.
Oh, man. The Cubs have scored 7 runs in 4 games. They've hit 6 home runs. All of their runs have come off. Obviously, one of them was a 2-run home run.
Yeah.
All of them.
Support.
Yeah, they're not. They're of the Aaron Judge mentality. It's like, we're only scoring with home runs.
Yeah.
We're dialed to hell with a base hit.
Aaron Judge.
Judge. Yeah. Yes, this text. What was worse, or what is worse, I guess, an A-bomb from A-Rod or all rise, here comes the judge. Which one's worse? Both pretty bad.
The A-bomb.
From A-Rod.
Yeah.
Is that because you don't like A-Rod, or is that because?
Wasn't there something else that went along with it? Or am I thinking of Teixeira?
I remember there was a text message.
Was it that one?
Yeah, yeah.
There was one that just went on for like the.
Wait, what?
There's one call that he had for a home run where like the guy was crossing home plate and he's halfway finished with his call.
Oh, gosh.
There's so many layers to whatever he attaches the guy to. Yeah.
We were just watching the video of David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez in the Fox Sports studio. There's so much that I love about this video. If you haven't seen it, it's David Ortiz. He has earbuds in his ear. He's obviously listening to something. He's sitting down. He's relaxing. Alex Rodriguez comes up behind him and puts a Yankees jacket on him, like over him, like James Brown style, yeah. Right? What's so great is David Ortiz doesn't react. It's like, this is totally normal that someone is coming to cover me up and make sure, like put a blankie on me and make sure that I'm comfortable. And he very just casually and calmly looks up, sees the camera, glances over his shoulder, sees Alex Rodriguez in the Yankee symbol, and flips out.
Then he goes nuts, yeah.
It's fantastic. It's a great, great video. It's one of the many great videos. There are some great things on the internet today,
yeah.
Including Chris's boy, Rob Ryan, who made an appearance on the ever-so-classy FS1 this morning. Whole go to the Lowdown's Facebook page if you haven't seen that video. We'll talk about the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk more basketball. Maybe some game one overreactions. We'll have that for you, and we'll get into fantasy football at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Nate Lundy coming up, our fantasy football expert and host of the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour, coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. You can start texting your questions in just about 13 minutes or so. Obviously, spent a great deal of time today, really split between two major stories. Tried to give a little update on baseball there. It's just a few minutes. Last few minutes, we really neglected that today. Game, what are we at? Six? Five? Game five for the Cubs and Dodgers?
Yeah.
Is coming up at about 5 o'clock. Tonight, Kings lose last night. Competitive game, fun game to watch. Particularly if you were in the arena, great atmosphere. Fans are just already one game in, absolutely enamored with De'Aaron Fox, and rightfully so. It was a participation trophy. That's the term we've been using all day. It was a participation trophy game where Kings fans should be very happy with it because you saw the things that you wanted to see from your players. No technicals, no sulking, no moping, no angry, no nothing. Just
play.
Just guys playing ball. Fell behind a couple of times, even late in the fourth quarter. Midway through the fourth quarter, fell behind as much as like 11, and were able to cut that and be in position to win there in the final seconds before that weird, bad foul call that was called there on the George Hill out of bounds play.
Two other things for the night I wanted to ask you about off the court. It was in the arena, though. You were there. How great was Vince Carter pregame?
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome. Tremendous. The Kings locked arms. Did I see that right?
I believe so. I thought he said that. I think he pointed like Houston, they're locking arms. I don't know. I think they did.
I actually thought he was going to ask the fans to lock arms.
I thought he might too.
I thought that was the direction he was going. If you didn't see San Antonio's pregame yet, go out of your way to see it.
Yeah.
Even if you have to put us on pause for a second, it's worth going out of your way to see. Yeah. It's the epitome of what all of this should be.
Yeah.
What everything, regardless of what you think about Greg Popovich and the things that he has to say, that wasn't a part of their pregame. Go see it.
Yeah.
It's well worth it. But yeah, Vince Carter was tremendous.
Yeah.
And that, I think, when Vince Carter was signed here, was like, that's that right there, that 15, 20, 30 seconds. That was like, that's what we want.
Yeah. And okay, we knew from the radio side, we said, King is going to address the fans before the game. We're like, okay, I wonder, it'll be Vince. Like,
yeah,
we knew,
for sure.
Like, it'll be Vince, and he was great. Little John, what'd you think?
I've seen Little John. I thought it was fun. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. This text right here, because we were talking about overreactions. Game one overreaction. Little John's career will have an unprecedented resurgence, and his popularity will skyrocket. I actually love Little John's shows because they're super high energy.
Mm-hmm.
That the
people
crowd
seem to be into halftime.
Yeah, like I think they were probably more into it than they would be like other acts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always a fan of what he does. Like, he's very simple. He'll bring his energy to his performance.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of his songs. His songs are very easy to rap or sing along mm-hmm. to. Most of them only have 6 or 7 words to them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fun. Since you were going along the halftime line, can we show some love to I'm certain he still listens every day. Chris Granger. Launched the Detroit arena yesterday with Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Chris Granger, that guy is incredible at what he does. He got, I don't know if you know this, Eminem's been in the news lately.
Yes, he has.
He's gotten some attention.
Very prominently.
Chris Granger was able to get him out there to open that stadium. That's pretty awesome.
The
arena, excuse me.
Yeah, brand new arena for them. They won, so that was a good night for them too in Detroit.
I thought everything last night about in-game, I always love, I had told, one thing, you know, last year we did our show from the Golden 1 Center, which has a tremendous amount of pitfalls, and there is no purpose in us from 12 to 3 doing that. But one thing that I miss seeing was when we got in there last year for the opening of the show, just like it was yesterday, there were purple shirts everywhere. And I think the visual of the empty arena with the purple shirts on the seats is awesome.
It does look great.
I feel like that arena was built. I feel like the lighting was built. I feel like everything in that arena was done specifically for that color purple because it just looks incredible in that building.
Yeah. Just fun all the way around.
Yeah, it was great. And then the game was fun.
Yeah.
Our guy, Garrett Temple, I meant to bring this up in the open. There were so many different storylines to talk about. Yes, 100%, the starting lineup is going to be different. The rotation is likely to be a little bit different. But Garrett Temple was the sixth man. He was the first one off the bench yesterday.
Yeah, first time he touched it, hit the shot. I'm like, oh, yeah. Unfortunately, he didn't make another
MVP. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought he played okay. I mean, there were some moments where other guys were hot. They were literally in the game. We went to a commercial break in the third quarter. And I remember telling the G-man, I said, Gary, gosh, you know what's killing him tonight? His buddy. Where is he?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He caught fire, and then all of a sudden, here's buddy. I mean, he got on a roll, and he really brought him back in. So they have a lot of different guys. We asked that question the other day. I mean, who's going to lead the team in scoring?
Yeah.
We came up with a bunch of different answers. And I think a night like last night is what it's going to be. Willie at 21. I don't know that Willie will lead the team in scoring all the time or that much. But 19, 16, 14, 12, 5 different guys there. And I don't know that they'll have a guy much more than 17 a game as their leader. 16 to 17, like for the season, not you know, nightly. Yeah. But
I think that's a game that we could play. I think I've been trying desperately to remember the name of this, but I remember before February last year, we had a game that we would play each season or each game with DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And it was technical ejection.
Oh, right.
Something else. I can't remember what it was. I think this year's game is just pick the high, who's gonna be the high scorer tonight.
Yeah.
Because if it's would anybody be surprised if it's Buddy against Dallas tomorrow?
No.
Would anyone be surprised if it was Scal against Denver on Sunday?
Nope.
Or Saturday?
De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Nope.
And there's a text right here. I'll read this one to you, Jay Ross. A couple of takeaways from last night. Seems like it's gonna be really hard for Coach Dave Yeager to keep De'Aaron Fox off the floor.
Yes, and another guy I've been saying that about is one guy that didn't play last night, Frank Mason. I'm a huge fan of his. I think he can contribute. I don't know where. I don't know that he needed to play last night, but I feel like he is an asset to the team. And I just didn't get on the floor last night. It's not a deal breaker or anything, but there's going to be some nights where guys don't play and we wonder why, but it's hard to get everybody in.
What'd you think of Malachi?
I thought the sequence where he caught the ball, it was like there's a rhythm to the game sometimes. Ball's moving, it's whipping around, goes right to him. Catch, shoot, form, beautiful. Air ball.
Not so much.
And I went, that's a problem. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just like everything looked right, and then it was an air ball. And I went, man, I don't know. Not much.
He's one of, and he's those, like, he had moments last year. And it's just one of those confusing things that I think that happens sometimes. For those wondering or unclear, you mentioned Frank Mason. He didn't play. Yorgos Papayannis didn't either.
Yeah.
So those, but besides Malachi, minutes were pretty evenly distributed last night.
Yeah, and again, looking back in the end, does playing Malachi 5.5 do anything for the team or for him? You know, that's a and I don't know. I mean, I've never coached in like that where you're going trying to give him confidence. Did he hurt his confidence? Did he help the team? Did he hurt the team?
If Dave Yeager was on with me today, the question I might have for him regarding Malachi was the intention to only play him 5 to 8 minutes, or did you send him out there not really like what you saw and decide to pull back on
that? Good question, yeah.
We'll come back. Third and final hour coming up next. Nate Lundy of the Fantasy Football Hour will help you get your fantasy roster set. Get your text to us now at 441140. We'll get your questions answered.